All right, on to part five.
Got on his case. He don't use the word program nearly as much anymore. So I'm working. Stop me. God's truth is working, and I hope Mark repents to the place where he leaves his pride. He follows the...
My bad. This is part six. On to part six.
Follows the model of the New Testament body. He sees his sin, and he quits doubling down in it because he's looking really foolish.
Jesus Christ has a salvation program that he has in the...
You've been wrong, program.
Okay.
It's not a program. It's called doctrine.
Yeah, okay, whatever you want to call it.
Use biblical words.
There you go. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Now, this is a man that Mark Bullen has trained his whole life, Nathan Bullen, and he teaches at LFCF. So he's happy with calling it a program. And when I say, no, it's doctrine, which means instruction, do a word search. It's all over the New Testament. He says, yeah, whatever you want to call it. Well, why don't we call it a purple chicken? How ridiculous. We're to use biblical terms, preach biblical theology, doctrine, and instruction, not follow along with Mark Bullen's program. Let me show you why I know they're a cult. Angela in Walmart, Mark's wife, when I said, nope, Mark's a heretic, I wouldn't go to his body. And I said, he says he's the chairman of the board of the body of Christ. In front of my wife, eyewitness, she said, Mark would never say that. And when I said, ma'am, it's right on my website, him saying in his own words, her very next words were, well, if Mark said it, I'm okay with it. This is a cult mindset. Whatever the bishop says, they make okay. Stealing another man's wife and authority, that's okay. Calling it a program instead of doctrine in the biblical gospel, that's okay. Taking the tithe and money from people when the tithe was done away with, that's okay. Usurping authority, oh, that's okay. It's a cult mindset, and I want people to see that. They're headed in the wrong direction, because I love them. I'm going to call them out. Let's keep going.
If I'm going to call you a name, I'm going to call you a biblical name. I called Samuel a liar. I didn't call him a doofus or an idiot like your dad does. Or a hippie. I didn't call him that. I called him...
Yeah, so Mark Bullen, an email, has called me a hippie, told me I hate authority, called me tabloid Jim. Even when I didn't put that stuff on the internet, I took it to him privately. He called me a pervert, and he called me an idiot. Does this sound like a godly bishop to you? Titus 1 says, a man is supposed to be holy, able to teach with sound doctrine, be loving, be patient. That's the fruits of the Spirit, right? Mark Bullen has none of these. Oh, unless he's trying to lure you to his body to build his legacy. What a snake in the grass he is. I'm exposing that. Let's keep going.
I call him a biblical name. He was a liar. He was a false witness. Okay. All right? So use biblical terms. Stop using your man-made religious terms.
Okay.
Follow the doctrines of Christ, and you will follow multiple elders.
But a translation.
You will dress like godly men, not showing your bodies off, your butts and your crotches to the world. You should all be ashamed.
Yeah, and I want to cover this. One time I've been in Brookfield about four times to street preach. They've all known I've been there. That's how I ran into Nathan. No meeting has been set up for Mark and Jesse to repent, now Nathan to repent. And I'm going to be going back there again soon. I'll let them know ahead of time. I'm waiting for a meeting. But we drove through a town that close to Brookfield, and some of the Bullenites were out working. They do roofing and construction. Good for them. They work hard. You know what? Those men were in such tight clothing. My wife and I looked over there, and my wife looked away. She won't even look at men like that. How wicked and vile. Their women have to put a cloth on their head and cover their bodies in, I call them potato sacks because they're loose and not supposed to be showing off their curves and all of that, which is biblical. But the men can show off their bodies in little pants, short sleeve shirts, suspenders, doing their hair up, shaving their face clean, putting on stinkum, male stinkum. Yeah. Yeah, I hear the reports of all that going on there. What a bunch of male hypocrites they are. Let's keep going.
You should all be ashamed. Go home and look at your wife. Put her in dress and walk around. Or put her in pants. Walk around town. You should be ashamed.
Okay. Well, you should be ashamed. We try to dress modestly, okay? There's a lot of people who dress immodestly. We're not trying to...
Nathan says they try to dress modestly. Wearing pants that are tight and not wearing what God put us in, a tunic-like robe, is not obeying God. Mark Bullen's obeying the Baptist, Anabaptist, Mennonite ways. He's not obeying God's word. They clearly get called out, and Nathan has no answer for it other than to say we dress modest. Oh, how about do you dress biblical? No, you don't, Nathan. You need to repent.
Trying to be that.
Yeah, you're not trying to be biblical. Your dad says you're trying to dress like the New Testament saints, and if our women walked into the first century, they wouldn't stand out. No, they wouldn't. You would. Paul would rebuke you. Paul would rebuke you. So that's just another one. I've got like 25 points. Okay. I don't want to stand here and listen.
I stand.
I don't want to listen to your blather. You know why? You've had 2 years to email me. I'm very approachable. Look at, we're talking. You've had 2 years to email me. And if you see righteous anger in me, Jesus said we could have it. I am righteously angry because Mark Bullen lies and slanders God's truth. My reputation, I don't care. Someday, I can promise you men this. Someday, you're probably going to read on the internet that Don't Perish Jim is either a pedophile or a homosexual. Do you know how many enemies I have? They're going to take my name down. You know what?
Yeah, and I guess I should say this. I don't know. Mark Bullen might be at the root of that and might be responsible for it because he's already called me a hypocrite. On his website, he tells me my life is a shipwreck full of sin, right? And privately, he called me a pervert and an idiot. So I've already got people like him slandering me, yet he won't step up and show the proof of any of that. How wicked, how unloving. And Jesus said in John 13, that's the sign of his true people, love for each other. I love Mark Bullen. I love Nathan Bullen and all the rest of those men. I've been calling them to repentance to show how much I love them. What do? Lie, slander, hide in the dark. Jesus said in John 3, 19 through 21, you hide in the dark when the light reproves you and you love your sin. That's what they're doing. Let's keep going.
You know what happens? The website comes off, a regular sign goes up, and I just go out and preach, and I have no name anymore. They're not going to stop me till they stop me. Cut my throat off, cut my tongue out. So that's going to happen one day. I've already got people threatening me to do all kinds of stuff to me because I just preach the truth. So your dad has had 2 years, and he keeps saying, oh, he won't come and meet, he won't come and gather. Why would I come and gather and talk to your dad when he won't repent of the simplest things? Calling me names, lying. Why would I even want to talk to him? I'm talking to you.
Yeah, so let's go there again. I've asked Mark and Jesse to publicly repent, saying I'm lying and slandering and I hate them. When they do that, I'll be happy to meet with them and all the rest of the men and go over these doctrines. Until then, I'd be happy to meet with anyone else. But now I'm putting Nathan in the category with them. He needs to publicly repent of his sin, calling me a slanderer when he has no evidence of it. I'll meet with any of the other men. But why would I meet with Mark, Jesse, and Nathan when they won't even repent of the simplest things? Why would I meet to talk about deep doctrines of God? How foolish. The Bible tells me not to waste my time with such men. But I'm still going to expose them for the love of my neighbor.
Because maybe you do have a good heart. Your dad has a wicked heart.
Well, I don't believe he does, but maybe I can help you understand something.
By the way, I am doubtful about Nathan's good heart because he turned out to be a liar, a slanderer himself, and he won't repent of it. That's not a good heart. That's a wicked, partial heart, defending and covering for his diatrophies daddy. It will not stand. I'm going to call it out. Let's keep going.
I don't respond to psychology. So be careful.
Okay, I understand. I'll try to be careful.
You've already tried using that. Well, we gotta be friends with people. No, we don't. We hold the scripture.
Be friends with people.
Yeah, you were saying you gotta get to know people. You're telling me I gotta get to know your dad.
Oh, I was just
give
saying,
me a break.
I was just saying you ought to meet with him and discuss it with him.
Do you know what your father tried to do? His father tried feminist moves on me from the second email that I ever emailed him. Want me to prove how? Talking to him about doctrine, we started getting to the point where we disagreed a little bit. He was nice. I'm sure he was trying to convince me to maybe...
Yeah, let me stop here. So Mark uses feminism, and here's how. Angela, his wife, is a feminist. She interjects herself. I have proof from Jeremy Slanton. She was rebuking him directly about his wife. You know, that's the wife that Mark is harboring and taking authority over the husband where... Yeah, Ephesians 5 says she should submit to her husband. Mark's going around that and saying he has authority over her now. But he uses feminism. You'll hear he tried to get my wife and Angela to communicate so that would lure us down there. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not a smart man, but I'm not dumb enough to let feminism infect my household. And we see feminism all over LFCF, from Angela all the way down to the other women. Down to Pauline, who will not submit to her husband even when she just recommitted her life submission and obedience to him. And all he wanted to do was leave LFCF and go off on his own, again like Mark did. But Mark says you can't do what he did. What a hypocrite. You see the pattern here, folks? Jesus hates hypocrisy, Matthew 23. All right? Jesus, or Scripture tells us, which is Jesus, the Spirit of God, in Psalms tells us that we should hate every false way. All right? Psalm 5 says that God hates the wicked and the sinner. Mark Bolin better be careful. He's always telling me God's going to judge me and get me. You know what? Mark Bolin better watch out. All the evidence points to he's the wicked one that God's going to judge, lest he repents. Let's keep going.
He come move down here because he's trying to build his legacy in his building. He says that. He said that. He wants a legacy of a building.
Who said that?
Your father? I got an audio of him saying it.
Yeah, Mark Bolin says he wants a legacy. He wants to build a building, so he's building it on his little cult compound there. And he says, you got to follow the vision of the pastor. Chapter and verse where we need to follow any man's legacy, and chapter and verse where we need to follow the pastor's vision. I thought we're all supposed to be following Jesus Christ. Isn't that what the book of John says? Follow me. I'm the great shepherd. Yeah, that's what it says. Nope. In that cult compound, you follow Mark Bolin. Let's keep going.
Well, your father said it. You're representing your father. He, in the second or third email, your wife and Angela could start emailing Mark's wife and get to know each other. And at the time, I was pretty green behind, wet behind ears, and I didn't think much of it. And I said, no. I said, if you and I can't unite, why is we talking? Oh,
I don't think you would have been trying to go behind the
scenes. Hold on. And then when I met Angela at Walmart, came up to me and started trying to rebuke me about Mark, telling me Mark didn't say stuff he said. Then when I said I could prove it, I got his voice on my internet.
Yeah, I got to cover this again. Can you believe that? The bishop's wife runs into me in Walmart with my wife, invites us to church. Okay, that's fine. That's not biblical to invite people. I could have been a cult member. She invited me right into their building. How foolish. And then when I tell her who I am, that I'm a Bible teacher and a preacher, and I know about her husband and I've refuted him, instead of walking away and leaving it to the men, what does she do? She follows me around. Yep, and came back and found us again. She took a phone call from Mark. She could have handed me the phone and said, here's Mark right here. Nope. I guess Mark was hiding in the dark. She hung the phone up and came back and found us and disputed with me over what I know is true about Mark. That's the kind of feminism going on in LFCF. And Mark tells me in an email that I was mean-spirited to his wife and that I twisted what she was trying to do. Oh, no, I have an eyewitness. My wife was appalled. And so was Mark's daughter. His daughter was standing there, and you could tell that she was uneasy about her mother standing toe-to-toe with a man refuting about biblical doctrine. Shameful feminism. Repent, Mark Bolin. You're a wicked man with a wicked house. Let's keep going.
Internet. Well, if you said it, I agree with it. That proved to me you're a cult. His wife said Mark would never say he's the CEO of the body. And I said, ma'am, it's on my website. You want me to play it for you? Well, if Mark said it, I agree with it. Did she not say that, honey? That got me thinking you're a cult. He's programming you. Then I looked into it more and more after that, and I saw it. He tried feminism, and he does it all through the body.
Maybe.
I see it. That's feminism. There's no reason for our women to be talking when we can't unite on doctrine. You're luring people and families in because, oh, the children want a group and the missus likes it here. And men are like, well, I don't think I agree with them fully. Harold, we need to gather somewhere. I hear this with the Anabaptists, the Baptists. So we'll overlook sin.
Yeah, see, that's how Mark Bolin pulls this off. He tells people, you got to be gathering somewhere. You got to be in a program. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. There's many saints cut off from other saints. They strive on where they are as they are. And God is able in the Word and the Spirit to raise them up. Mark Bolin says, you got to be in a program. Well, the problem with that is, Mark left the Baptists to bounce around on his own. Then he landed at the Mennonites, who took care of his wife and his sick wife and his children for a period of time. Then he took Mennonite families with him. And he ran around and started his own body. So you see, Mark says you can't do what he's done. I'm saying it again. Where's Mark's letter from a bishop that gives him the authority to go off and do his own thing? Sinful and wicked. What a hypocrite. Yep, I sound redundant. That's because he's a hypocrite. Let's keep going.
Sin. We don't have fellowship.
worship.
We don't try to take that approach.
Praise God, John the Baptist did.
Here you go. So Nathan says, we don't take that kind of approach. I just showed them they do take that approach. I show and I prove that Angela was rebuking men. I show and prove that Angela was giving counsel to Jeremy Slanton's wife behind his back. Yeah, they do that kind of approach there. Absolutely, they do. Let's keep going.
Just didn't overlook sin. He's a marker for us all. Praise God, Noah did not overlook any sin and he built the ark. Boy, if Noah was like you guys, he would have drowned in the wrath of God because he compromised. I don't want you guys to compromise. I say it all the time. I love you guys. Told Samuel that. I tell your father that every time I communicate with him. Your father's never once told me he loves me or cares about me. Not once. And the other thing I want to remind you of, 8 years ago when I was just, 10 years ago, struggling to get started, and I talked to Mark. When we started locking swords and talking about things and we disagreed, well, I told you what I think. We just agreed to disagree. Okay, we parted ways. I went on my way doing my ministry. We were living in Wisconsin at the time. Now we do have a homestead in central Missouri, but we're never there. Some saints, it's a refuge for saints. But anyway, years went by. Mark Bullen never once looked me up to see if me and my wife were striving. He knew we...
Yeah, so I just want to cover that. So Mark Bullen was all nice and warm and loving and fuzzy when he thought he was going to lure us down to his legacy cult compound. As soon as that went south, because we disagreed on the gospel and him lording over as the lone bishop, the chairman of the board, he never cared about us one bit after that. No love, no care, no concern. Cold-hearted wickedness, no love. First John says, you're not born of God if you don't love. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Yeah, let's keep going.
He knew we were out of the culture. My wife was head covered. He never once looked back to care about us. What did Jesus say is the marker of his true people?
Love one another.
That's why I have that approach.
So did you hear that, young man? He knew the answer. Oh, they love one another. In a little while, Nathan will say, well, we love each other. That's why we want a big building so we can stay together. They're partial. They only love each other. They don't love other people striving in Christ out there. What a condemnation against them.
Well, you don't accept Mark Bullen.
This was long before I had my testing of Mark Bullen. I knew Mark Bullen 6 years before I ever started testing him. And he never once said, you guys okay? Everything okay? We love you. We're praying for you. Never. Because all Mark cares about is building his own legacy. Is your building going up?
Yeah, but we're hoping.
Yep. There's another one. Got to have a building. I heard your dad's sermon. Somebody gave $20,000 to a building fund.
Yeah, so let's be clear here. So Mark has a building attached on his house, so he has total control of it. Now they're going to build a building where everybody's chipping their money in. It's on Mark's land. Huh. Wonder whose net worth that's increasing. And I go through with Nathan how you don't need a building. How the body of Christ grows is by multiplying up and spreading out. Oh no, listen to what he says.
How have you been getting along all these years? You've got a building on his house. Everybody else has houses. How did they gather in the first century?
Hey, we don't believe.
How did they gather in the first century?
In the synagogues.
After Christ came and you had Christians coming into the faith, that was the Jews who were told to gather in the synagogues. By the way,
yeah, this is important. Mark Bullen says the synagogues were the model for the New Testament body of Christ. What a lie. I cover that on the testing on my website. Synagogues were never ordained by God. Synagogues came about because when they went into captivity, there was no temple, it was gone. So they wanted to keep meeting somewhere, so they started separate little buildings and places called gathering places. That's what synagogue means. And God never ordained that. Now, Jesus went to the synagogues because they would read the Torah. So he wasn't against the synagogues, per se. Although in his ministry, he certainly went against the synagogue leaders. But Mark tries to say the synagogue system with a building, with a priest over it, or a rabbi over it, was the model for the New Testament. Absolutely a lie. The first century, the saints all gathered in the New Testament body of Christ in homes with multiple elders, no religious buildings put up. That's a lie to prop up his program system. Let's keep going.
Who ordained synagogues?
Careful now. Who ordained that I'm going to hold you to scripture?
It started, I believe, after they came back from baptism.
God never ordained the synagogue. Jesus went...
Yeah, so it covered God never ordained the synagogues, that it was something that the Jews started, and then later the New Testament body looked very different. Gathering in homes, multiple elders, many men partaking. That's not what Mark teaches. It's another lie. Hey, let's move on to part 7.